Proverbs chapter 7. And let's read the first five verses of the chapter. It says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words." I think it's been a couple, maybe 3 or 4 years since I taught through the book of Proverbs, and I think I did that while I was teaching the adult Sunday school class, so it must have been prior to the Millers being with us, and so chances are most of you weren't present for that series of lessons, but I think most of you probably are aware of the theme of the book of Proverbs, which is wisdom. And while wisdom is the theme of the book of Proverbs, it's not referring to worldly wisdom or any type of wisdom that can be obtained through secular education. Instead, it speaks of a practical wisdom, one that can only be learned through the studying of the Scriptures. And in my message this morning, I want to highlight some of the things that the book of Proverbs tells us about wisdom. And my hope is that this message will give us a greater desire to know and to study the Bible. This week at home, when we sat down for Bible time, since I didn't have any particular subject that we were looking at, I just opened up to the chapter of the book of Proverbs that corresponded with the day of the month. In the past, I've encouraged us as a church to take the time to read the book of Proverbs through each month. And at different times in my life, I have done that. Since there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, you can, you know, read it through if you just read a chapter a day. Of course, on those shorter months, you might have to at least take one day and read two chapters. But it's good for us to do that because, again, this book is filled with practical wisdom, and therefore it is one of the most practical books, if not the most practical book in the Bible. It gives us help in everyday situations. You know, if we have a trouble discerning God's will in a particular area, you know, a good book of the Bible to turn to is the book of Proverbs, because it gives us very practical advice. The first 11 chapters are addressed most specifically to a man's son. And that's why we find the phrase, "my son," repeated over and over again, because we have here the instruction that a father gives to his son. And even as I sat down for Bible time and read different portions of the book of Proverbs to my children, I reminded them of how important it is that they take heed to what mom and dad has to say. But the book reaches beyond just a father's advice to his son. But this is God's advice. These are God's instructions to his children, to those of us that are saved. So again, this morning, let me just give to you some of the things that the book of Proverbs teaches about wisdom. And I hope that these things will give you a greater desire to study and to know the Word of God. Look at chapter 8 and verse number 11. It says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." You know, according to the context of this verse, one of the things that men will desire is rubies. And maybe that's because they are valuable. I'm talking about precious stones. Those type of stones that most people would use for jewelry. I think most of you realize that if you were to find a diamond, it would be of a monetary value. It would be worth money. And so for that reason, many times people desire rubies, but maybe this is something that you don't necessarily desire. Well, the verse doesn't leave you out, because it says that all things that may be desired, rubies is one such thing, but maybe you're not interested in rubies. I'm sure that there are other things that you desire. Desire to possess. Desire to have. Most people desire to have money. Most people want money because of what it can purchase for them. People want money so that they can purchase a home, and sometimes that's what many ladies desire, to have a new house. And not one that's been built by someone else. Perhaps one that they can build themselves to their plans, to their desires. Sometimes people want a new car, especially young people when they get to driving age. One of the things that they want is a car that they can call their own, so that they can have the freedom and the liberty to go from place to place. This is something sometimes that people desire. My kids, they desire ATVs and motorcycles. I mean, they've been asking for additional ATVs and motorcycles since the time that they were three, most of them. You can never have too many ATVs and motorcycles, at least according to my thinking, so you can see what I desire, too. Somebody would say, well, you've got enough. No, you can never have enough. Power tools, that's what men desire, right?
Amen.
And you can never have too many power tools, either. You got to have a main one, a spare one, one to loan out, and one in case one of them breaks. You just can't have too many power tools. People desire new clothes, electronic devices, MP3 players, iPods, LCD televisions. There's no lack of electronic devices in the day and age in which we live, huh? Sometimes people desire those things, laptops, computers. The ladies, they sometimes desire Pampered Chef, cookware. Sometimes they do desire jewelry. And yet, what is the advantage of all of these things? Some of them bring to us pleasure, right? Like the ATVs and the motorcycles, the electronic devices. They bring us pleasure. Sometimes they're even put to practical use. You know, you can take an iPod, an MP3 player, and download sermons and listen to them. So in that sense, they can certainly be edifying. Some of these things simply bring us comfort. A new house, a new car. It's nice having a new car. You don't have to worry about it breaking down all the time. You know, you don't have to buy tires very soon because they're all fresh. They're brand new. So again, these things bring us comfort sometimes. Sometimes they bring beauty, such as jewelry and clothes. Sometimes just convenience, you know, with your Pampered Chef cookware or your power tools. It's convenience. And yet again, this particular verse says that wisdom, it's better than rubies, and it's better than anything that you can possibly desire. What are your desires? What do you want? What do you long for? And why do you long for it? What is it going to bring to you? No doubt you desire it because it's going to be advantageous for you in some form or manner. But you know what? Wisdom, it's better than anything that you can desire.
Yes.
More valuable is it than rubies or power tools or ATVs. Mm-hmm. It's more valuable than anything. Yeah. Wisdom. It says in Proverbs 3 and verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. When you have fine gold, you know what? There's no telling what you can do with that, because it's so valuable. But God says when you have wisdom, the gain of that wisdom is more valuable than everything that you can purchase with your gold. I'm saying wisdom is important. Wisdom is valuable. Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? God says repeatedly in His Word, hey, there is nothing more valuable than wisdom. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you know if you believe that, you will desire wisdom. And that is my second point. Wisdom is valuable, and wisdom is to be desired. And the reason many people do not desire the wisdom that comes from the Word of God is because they really don't think that it's important. We spend our time and energies doing a lot of things. But you know what? I'm sure there's many of us that spend very little time committing to memory, committing to understanding the truths that are taught in the Word of God. Notice the text that I read, Proverbs 7. It says in verse 1, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee." This is what I said to my children when we looked at this verse. You need to make sure that you listen to the instruction that I give you. It's important. And the instruction, by the way, that I give my children is most often, if not always, scriptural. And God says to us here, His children, you need to keep my words. You need to lay up my commandments with thee. Why do you need to do that? Because they're valuable. Because they're important. God does not tell us to listen to what He has to say because it's irrelevant. No, it's because it's practical. And He knows it will help us. He says, keep my words and live. Keep my commandments and live. And my law. Notice what He says about His law, His words, as the apple of thine eye. What is the focus of your eye? What is your attention upon? He says it ought to be upon my commandments. It ought to be upon my law. What's your focus in life? Is it on God and His word? It ought to be. He says to bind them upon my fingers. I don't know, but it appears to me in Old Testament times, people would have tied a little ribbon, a little something around their finger to remind them of something. That's what you need to do with God's word. God's precepts, God's laws, God's commandments, God's will. You need to put something around your finger that will help you to remember what God expects of you. He says, write them upon the table of thine heart. Take the time to memorize them. Make sure you know what God's commandments are. I've said to some of my children, really just one of my children, and you'll know who it is, but don't pick on him. I said, I have a new philosophy for him this week. We've been working on it. I've been saying all week, this is your new philosophy. Talk less. And so when I'm going over these verses with my children, you know what I'm saying? You need to commit that to memory. My new philosophy, think less. Write yourself a little note on your finger if you want. Think less. To all of my children, when I give you a commandment, when I give you some instructions, memorize those instructions. Say, I want to do what mom and dad want me to do. I know that they're giving me good instructions. Mm-hmm. They tell me not to be hateful. Okay, I am not going to be hateful.
That's right.
And I'm going to talk less. And I'm going to follow through. I mean, commit the instructions of your parents to your heart. And that's the way God wants all of us to be in regards to His Word. Understand what the Bible says. Commit it to memory. Take the preacher's outline, if that helps you to remember a certain passage, and memorize it. Because it's valuable. It's important. He said in verse number 4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Now, those of you that don't like your sisters, that's probably not what you want to say. But you know, brothers ought to be of the mindset, I'm going to protect my sister because I love her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to watch out for her because she's my own flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
Call understanding, it says, thy kinsman, your near relative. Normally, we love our close relatives. Not just mom and dad, but brother and sister, aunts and uncles, cousins. We love them. Why? Because they are a part of our family. Well, God says, you know what? That's the way you need to treat wisdom. You're my friend. And I love you. And I want to be around you. That's the way you need to treat wisdom. You need to realize that it's valuable, that it's important, that it is to be desired. But you know what? You can only obtain wisdom if you have a desire to know it. It says in Proverbs 17:16, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom? He's got a whole lot of money in his hand, the fool does. And what does he want to do? He wants to purchase wisdom. And God says, why has he got this whole handful of money to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to hear it?
That's right.
If he doesn't want to hear it, it doesn't matter how much he pays, he's never going to understand it. Do you know you'll never understand the truths of the Word of God until you want to? And this is why we have so many ignorant Christians today. Some of them come to church, some of them sit in Sunday school, but they don't understand this book. Why? Because they don't want to. And God knows they're not going to obey it. And He's not going to take the time to impart His Word into your heart if you're not going to do it.
Yes, sir.
It's only when you have a desire for God's Word and a willingness to obey it that He's going to teach it to you. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gave the parable of the sower. He spoke often in parables, and the disciples asked Him, why do you speak in parables? And I'm summarizing, but He said, you know, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But for the Pharisees, those other religious rulers, He says He spoke in parables to conceal the truth from them. They had no desire to know the truth. And so Jesus wasn't going to speak in a way that they could understand it. Not to them, not until they first had a heart to hear it. Mark 4:24 says, take heed what ye hear, and with what measure ye meet it, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. If you hear the truths of the Word of God taught, and you take them and you apply them to your life in the manner that God wants you to, He's going to teach you something else. That's what the last part of that verse says. And then He's going to, as long as you take that and you apply it to your life and you heed it and you obey it to the best of your ability, He's going to teach you something else. But if you don't take what you heard and apply it to your life and obey it, that's all the further it goes. He's not going to teach anything new. The degree of importance you place upon this book will determine how much of it you understand. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1.
Yeah.
Wisdom, it's valuable, it's important. It's to be desired. This next one is something I say quite often, but I'm going to do it again. In Proverbs chapter 1, notice verse 20. It says, wisdom crieth without. It's not just in the church house. Not just behind the walls of the church. She crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the busy places, right? Everybody has to go into the street to get from place to place. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. And again, this is where everybody would have entered and exited the city. Everybody passed by there. And so where does wisdom plant herself? In those areas where everybody passes. So that everybody has the opportunity to hear the truth. It says, in the city she uttereth her words. Now again, this is a principle that's repeated over and over in the book of Proverbs. I often quote Proverbs 8:1, doth not wisdom cry? Yes, absolutely. Wisdom cries. She puts forth her voice. She stands at the top of high places and by the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. And what does she say? O men, I call. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. That's God. He cries out. Listen to me. Listen to me. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. The table's set. Everything's prepared. All you have to do is come and dine. That's what God says. Here it is. Here's my word. Here it is. Just set it on the table and come and eat. And if you want wisdom, I'll give it to you. Isn't that what the book of James tells us?
Yes, sir.
If any man lacks wisdom, if he asks God for wisdom, God will give it to him liberally. I'm simply saying that wisdom is accessible. There's a number of reasons why people don't understand the Word of God. But one of the reasons is because they don't desire to. Because if you'll desire the Word of God, the truths of Scripture will be easily accessible to you. Look at Proverbs chapter 2 then. Verse 10, Proverbs 2 and verse 10. I want you to also notice that wisdom is a protection against spiritual dangers. Proverbs 2:10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, you've obtained that wisdom, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. And that word discretion talks about the ability of being able to decide what to do or how to act. When God gives you the wisdom that comes from the Word of God, you'll know how to make a good and godly decision. It says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. These are the benefits of obtaining wisdom. It says in verse 12, it will deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. You see, when you come to understand the truths of Scripture, when an evil man crosses your path and tempts you to do something that is wrong, you'll know the Word of God and say, you know what, I don't think that's a wise idea. That's not something God would want me to do. And you're safeguarded. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's what David said, right?
Amen.
And if you do the same thing, hide the Word of God in your heart. Either memorize it or at least be familiar with its truths. When temptation comes, you'll have enough sense to stay clear of it.
Yes, sir.
Notice verse 16 gives us another consequence of obtaining wisdom. To deliver thee from the strange woman. It won't only deliver you from the evil man, but it'll deliver you from the strange woman. Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. I think many of us understand in the book of Proverbs, when we find a strange woman, the immoral woman, one of the characteristics that she possesses is that she flattereth with her tongue. And it's talking about saying things that aren't really true. She's just simply trying to manipulate you. And when a young man understands that, you know what? He will remove himself from the temptation of a strange woman. He'll know that she only seeks to do him harm. In chapter 3 and verse 1 it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. There's two results of obtaining wisdom, long life and peace. I often say when you live the Christian life, the Spirit-filled life, your life is not filled with what they call today is drama.
Mm-hmm.
It's not filled, you know, with divorce and adultery and fornication and lying and stealing and covetousness. There's just not all that drama. Things are just plain and boring.
Amen.
I mean that in a good sense.
Yes, sir.
Wisdom. When you apply the wisdom of the Word of God, it not only gives you long life, it gives you peace. In In verse number 4 it says, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." You possess wisdom, you find the favor of God, and boy, that's enough, but you find favor of men as well.
Yes.
I'm simply saying that if you'll take wisdom and you'll apply it to your life, it will be a protection against spiritual dangers. You know, I tell my children, I'm sure many of you tell your children, you need to be careful what you watch in the way of entertainment on the television. You need to be careful what you listen to in the way of music, because it can affect you negatively.
It sure can.
And many times a child doesn't understand how that can affect them negatively. But if you don't listen to mom and dad as they give you scriptural instruction, you know what, one day you may find out the hard way how those things can affect you negatively.
That's right.
Some of us encourage young people to live pure lives. And yet some of those young people choose to rebel against the instructions that they have received. And one day they'll find out the negative consequences of not following scriptural truth.
That's right.
Not following the advice of the preacher and the counsel of daddy.
That's right.
But then it'll be too late. I'm simply saying, when you take the wisdom of this book and apply it to your life, it will protect you. It will keep you in peace.
It sure will.
But if you don't, just the opposite will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom. Wisdom is valuable. It's important. Wisdom is to be desired. Wisdom is easily accessible. And wisdom is a protection against spiritual dangers.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom is the principal thing. The Bible says, "Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding."
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's anything more important in life than gaining an understanding of what the Bible teaches. And I'm not just talking about systematic theology. I'm not just talking about Christology, the study of Christ. I'm not just talking about pneumatology, the study of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the practical wisdom that comes from the book of Proverbs. That wisdom that tells the young man to stay away from the strange woman. That wisdom that tells every one of us to stay away from the froward, to stay away from the evil man. I'm talking about the wisdom that tells us to flee temptation. Proverbs 24:14 says, "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." There's a reward for obtaining wisdom. Because when you attain the wisdom of the Word of God, it causes you to live a righteous life. And in the end, God rewards you for it. You know, there is no excuse for an ignorant Christian. There's no excuse. If you're ignorant in regards to the truths of the Word of God, it is your own fault. If you're saved, you have the Holy Ghost as your teacher. God desires to impart the truths of this book into your heart, but you have to desire to know them. You know, I was thinking this week in relationship to Christians. What do most Christians live for? What do they live for? What is their goal in life? What is their purpose in life? Is it to love and serve Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ."
Yes.
Is that what life is all about for us? That's what it should be about. Not just for the preacher, and not just for the Sunday school teacher, but every child of God. That ought to be our desire, to live Christ. And if it was our desire, you know what? I think we might just experience revival in our churches and across our land. For to me to live is Christ. Let that be your motto in life as well. And if it is, you know what? Whenever you come to feed on the Word of God, the Lord will teach you the truths of this book. And I'm telling you by the authority of the Scriptures, you'll be helped as a result.
Yes, sir.
Your life will be much more happy, and in the next life, you'll be much more rewarded.
Yes.
Wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, you get wisdom. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. Thank you for all the wonderful principles that are taught to us throughout it. God, I pray that you would give us a desire to possess wisdom. And then, Lord, give us a diligence to go in search of that wisdom, that you might impart to us the truths of the Word of God, that we could put them into practice in our lives and be helped as a result. Lord, help us each to be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, that for me to live is Christ. May this book truly be the apple of our eye. May it be our focus and our emphasis in life. Lord, if there is someone here this morning that is not saved, help them to realize the importance of being born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And so, Lord, if there is one that's unsaved, convict them of their sin. And then help them to repent of that sin and put their faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. I pray this in His name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to hymn 342, Take Time to Be Holy. 342.
Take time to be home.